and you may remain seated on this. It's really, over the years, become my favorite Christmas verse. It doesn't come out of the traditional Christmas narratives. It comes from one of Paul's letters. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want you to think for a moment, what has been in your life a gift that was special? Maybe it's a gift you gave, or maybe it's a gift you received, but for whatever reason, it sort of stands out in your consciousness as you think back of over all the Christmases and all the gift giving. That particular gift, or maybe a cluster of gifts, just sort of stands out. Let me give you an example or two. It was 47 years ago this Christmas when I popped the question to Susan Folsom Taylor, and shock of all shock, she said yes. And I can say that that was a rather transformative Christmas gift. When I was much younger, about 10 years old, we were growing up in Korea, and I couldn't believe it, but one of my younger brothers, David, who's a recently retired military chaplain, was not well. Can you imagine not feeling well for Christmas? And so as a 10-year-old, I was wondering, what can I do for my little brother to cheer him up? Well, I just gotten into raising goats. And my first goat had her first kid. And you're talking about a prized possession. It was that little kid. And I thought, you know, if this little goat kid means that much to me, it's got to mean something to my younger brother. So I went out and I caught the little goat kid, and I put a ribbon and a bow around it and brought it inside and presented it to my brother. Now, to this day, I'm not really sure how much it meant to him. It sure meant a lot to me. When we talk about the gift that Paul is writing about, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, obviously we're talking about the all-surpassing, the incredible, immeasurable grace upon grace, from whom all other blessings flow, the gift of the Lord Jesus. Now, we need to, in a sense, visit and revisit that gift that we celebrate during Christmas, because we do get busy, stuff happens, and many times we get drawn away from the essence of Christmas. We get busy, there's a lot to do, and we get overwhelmed, and sometimes we just aren't able to slow down enough to take stock and to remind ourselves what it is all about. There were a few Christians riding this bus that was going through London, and they drove past a church that had a nativity scene out in the front. And I'm going to, since you might not believe it if I ad lib it, I'm going to read to you exactly what one of the ladies, a non-believer, said on the bus. "Oh, Lord, they bring religion into everything. Look, they're dragging it even into Christmas now." Well, I'm not sure if we've drifted that far, but I think all of us would acknowledge that sometimes what happens during this season of the year may not have a lot of spiritual or Jesus overtones. And so what we have to sort of do is go back and unpack the gift. We need to rediscover and re-explore the gift, what it's all about, and remind ourselves again and again. Remember what Jesus said to the lady at the well. This is John chapter 4. "If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." A pastor is going to preach on John 3:16, And so sort of to summarize the point of that very familiar verse, he says this. There are two striking things in my text, John 3:16. When God loves, he loves a world. When he gives his son. John 1:16, another familiar verse. And of his fullness, did you get that? Of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. You know, the sum total of how God wants to bless us and what he wants to do comes through his son, Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to read it out of the Living. For in Christ there is all of God in human body. So you have everything when you have Christ. And you are filled with God through your union with Christ. Now, again, in that paraphrase, it doesn't use the word, but in the original, the word fullness is there. So, again, if we want to experience fullness in our emptiness, it comes through Jesus. And then another verse. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Christ is the operative expression. By the way, that little expression, in Jesus, in Christ, in Him, is Paul's shorthand for what it means to be a Christian. He uses that expression, in Christ, over 140 times in his epistles. So if you're reading a passage and it uses that expression, don't just think Paul's using that as filler or to be colorful or whatever. It is the heart and soul of what Paul means when we experience the fullness of deity, when we experience grace upon grace. It is through Jesus through whom all blessings flow. He is the yes and the amen to all the promises of God. He is the giver of the new covenant. And so let me read you again our text. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Some translations actually capitalize gift because they know what it's referring to. It's referring to Jesus. Now, this is the rendition of that verse that really awakened me. I was reading a book many years ago on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And they referred to this verse. And they say it can be rendered, if you study the Greek, it can be rendered in this way. Thanks be to God for his not yet fully drawn out gift. Thanks be to God for his not yet fully drawn out gift. So regardless of how much you and I may know, how much we've experienced, how much we can share about Jesus, folks, there's still an awful lot to go. There's a lot of unpacking. Susan was reminding me this morning, and some of you may have these. Have you ever gotten a gift and you unwrap it, and then there's another box inside, and you got to unwrap that, and then there's another one, and then there's another one? That's kind of how it is with Jesus. There's no end. There's constantly more to know, more to experience, more to uncover, more to unwrap, more to experience of his glory and of his majesty, grace upon grace, the fullness of God. And so the question is, you know, we need to get reacquainted with him. We need to, and it's not just getting more information and more facts. We're talking about experiencing him. For example, I could know that Jesus is the counselor. But I haven't fully experienced that until I've gone to him for his wisdom. I may know him as the comforter. But I haven't fully experienced that until I've had to lean on him for indeed deep and agonizing anguish. I need his comfort. So we're talking about leaning into Him and experiencing Him in His fullness. And you know, I think a lot of times He is right there. We just don't recognize Him. We want Him. We ask Him. And sometimes we don't recognize His presence. We don't recognize His drawing close. Sometimes it may be we're not looking in the right places. You know, again, in recent years, the passage that has hounded me is Jesus says, if you've ministered to the lonely, the friendless, those in prison, those that are hungry, those that are homeless, those that are sick. In other words, if you've ministered unto the least of these, you've ministered unto me. And so, you know, we need to be open to Him. We need to be surprised by Him, recognizing that He may show up in places we weren't bargaining for, we weren't anticipating. He wants to make Himself known. He wants to draw close. And so the issue is, are we ready? Are we open? Are we available to Him? The issue becomes my response to the one who is the indescribable gift. The issue is my response to the one who is not yet fully drawn out. Let me share with you, you know, one of the things that just amazes me again and again is to go through a listing of all the names and titles attributed to Jesus. In the New Testament alone, there are over 100. And each name is so suggestive of all that He is and all that our relationship to Him can be and all that He offers. So just exploring the names, the titles that are given to the Lord Jesus can unpack an awful lot. But in our response to Him, somebody said this. Actually, it was one of my dad's favorite authors, A.W. Tozer. This is what he wrote. To God, there are no small offerings if they're made in the name of His Son. Not by its size is my gift judged, but by how much of me there is in it. No man gives at all until he has given all. No man gives anything acceptable to God until he has first given himself in love and sacrifice. You know, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And one of the things that Jesus can render in us, in His lavish blessings, in this lavish, unsurpassing gift, He gives us the capacity to give now, to share. John Wanamaker, of a much earlier generation, was a Presbyterian elder, a Presbyterian layman, who dramatically impacted American business. He was the Postmaster General for a period of time. And not only was he a Christian businessman, but he started numerous churches. He had the largest Sunday school class in the nation. He gave generously to mission. And on one occasion, he decided to go visit a remote area where he had given gifts, given financial support. And so he's going down a dirt road in this remote area, and he comes upon a sight that sort of puzzles him. This man is plowing his field. He's holding the plow and pulling the plow are sort of a double yoke. There's an oxen, but in the other yoke is a young man. And John Wanamaker is thinking, you know, this is really odd. So he stops them and he says, what is going on? You know, this young man's pulling right along the cow. What's going on here? And the old gentleman said, in our community, we built a little building for the church to meet. And we wanted everybody in our whole area to know where that meeting place was. So we wanted to build a steeple, a spire. But we had no money. We had no means to do it. So my son said, Dad, why don't we sell our cow, our ox, and I'll take his place and pull the plow. John Wanamaker was so moved by that, he made this prayer commitment. Lord, let me be hitched to a plow so that I may know the joy of sacrifice. sacrificial giving. In response to the Lord's lavish grace, have you experienced sacrificial giving? Have you experienced the reality and the truth that indeed it is more blessed to give than to receive? The psalmist put it well when he asked the question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" And I would pray that during this Christmas season, we ask that basic question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He's given a gift that is not yet fully drawn out. In other words, he's still giving, still giving, still revealing who he is and what he does and how he relates to us. How am I responding? We respond in gratitude and in acts of service. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much again for this season that reminds us again and again in so many different ways, through song, through scripture, through skits, through drama, through service, through ministry, the essence of our faith. That a son was given, and in him the fullness of deity resides. Lord Jesus, we thank you for drawing close. O Lord God, may you find in us responsive hearts, responsive lives. May we discover yet again, it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.